I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My guest today is Dr. Larry Burke, MD, CEHP, President of Healing Imager, PC, in Durham, North Carolina, specializes in teleradiography, EFT, hypnosis, and dream work. He was Associate Professor of Radiology and Director of Integrative Medicine Education at Duke University Medical Center from 1998 to 2004. He was a founding member of the American Board of Scientific Medical Intuition and a board president of the Rhine Research Center. His book, Let Magic Happen, Adventures in Healing with a Holistic Radiologist, was published in 2012. Dr. Burke co-facilitates week-long retreats at the Monroe Institute in Faber, Virginia, with medical intuitive Winter Robinson, M.A., on medical intuition and symbolic dis-ease, which also includes EFT, imagery, and dream work. He published his paper, Warning Dreams Preceding the Diagnosis of Breast Cancer, a survey of the most important characteristics, in the May-June 2015 issue of Explore, the Journal of Science and Healing. A link for the paper and additional information is on his homepage at www.larryburkemd.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Burke, and I look forward to hearing about cancer detection and dreams. Now, first, how did you get interested in dreams that warn of cancer?
I first heard about it in 1999 from my friend Polly Delovitz, who was a holistic educator at the University of Virginia in the 90s. And she then came to Duke to join me as part of the Integrative Medicine Center's education team. And she came bearing this incredible story about having had dreams about having cancer of her tongue, actually. And that was her story. And she had apparently had radiation to her tonsils as a child, which is one of those misadventures in medicine from way back when. Mm-hmm. And they could shrink your tonsils, but they didn't realize what they were doing to you in the long term. So she had a dream that said she had tongue cancer, went in and had actually a biopsy of a suspicious lesion, and it came back negative. Mm-hmm. And so the surgeon sort of said, well, you know, it didn't find anything. You're okay. And she then had a dream the next night and needed a second opinion from medical experts. So she got Hot Lips Houlihan and one of the doctors from MASH came mm-hmm. and told her, they missed it, that you need to go back and get a biopsy again. And sure enough, the second time she did have cancer of her tongue, and she had mm-hmm. surgery, and that was back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And then she wound up being guided by her dreams through multiple recurrences. The next time, I think she had a recurrence, had a dream of a spider crawling out of her mouth.
Mm.
And actually, the original dream she had been about spiders in her mouth as well. And then the recurrence was signaled by a spider escaping from its cage.
Mm-hmm.
And she wound up living several decades longer than she should have. She wound up dying in 2010, so having outlived her prognosis by many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And she was one who told me about that, and I didn't know it was a phenomenon at all. And then she told me about Mark Ian Barash's book, Healing Dreams, which has his story about having thyroid cancer,
mm-hmm.
and having guided to diagnose his cancer through the dreams. And he decided to research this whole book on dreams of healing dreams of all sorts.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing, she gave me his book in like 2000 when it first came out, or told me about it, but I never actually got the book until 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously I was being set up by this by the dream world to discover these things in the timing that was appropriate. So.
Right, right. I know all about timing. I wish I didn't.
Yeah. Wow. Divine timing is a mystery,
isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I had. I guess it was sometime in 2000. I guess around 2006, one of my best friends called and said that she had been diagnosed with breast cancer, and then she proceeded to tell me her story about her dreams, and that was my first exposure to the to the world of breast cancer. I wasn't a breast cancer specialist. I read mammograms back in 1991 and 93 when I was in Virginia Beach, but none since then. So she called me and told me that she had this amazing dream. Told her she had cancer, even though she had no symptoms, and she went, had the mammogram, and it was normal. So the doctor was, as I mentioned I tell her story in my TEDx talk, she insisted on having an ultrasound, and the radiologist refused, and she wound up refusing to leave the department until they did the ultrasound, and the radiologist said, well, I don't know where to do the ultrasound, since you don't have a lump, and there's nothing on your mammogram, and he said, well, how about right here, which is where the dream had indicated it. The radiologist put the ultrasound probe on there, and sure enough, there was the cancer deep in her breast. And the radiologist was pretty shocked. and that story really got my attention, but it was only one story about breast cancer. And it wasn't until I had a couple more stories that I began to take it more seriously. And then did this survey of 18 women from around the world who had similar stories.
Oh, they did. And they all had problems getting the medical profession to acknowledge that there might be something there?
Some more than others. I mean, the worst one was the woman who had the dream, a friend of mine who had the dream. It was pretty vivid, and the doctor just completely dismissed it, didn't get a mammogram, said, oh, it's just normal breast tissue, and then she wound up having metastatic breast cancer a year later and died. So she's the only woman in the study who died. And so that was a cautionary tale, and that was one of the things that motivated me to do the study, to find out just how often, you know, women have these dreams, and of course we don't know that, but I wanted to find out, you know, what kind of dreams they were having, and was able to do that, and I guess if any of your listeners want to watch the TEDx talk, it's www.tedxraleigh.org, so they can watch the talk.
TED. How do you spell it?
TEDx, you know, it's like TEDxRaleigh.org.
Oh, good, good, great. And what other types of cancer have had warnings in dreams that you're aware of?
Yes, since that paper came out, and I've made connections with two of the dreamers in the study who had already published books. One was Wanda Birch, and she's got an amazing book called She Who Dreams, which goes through her whole experience. And her website is WandaBurch.com. And her book inspired me to go much further into this, because she only had dreams of diagnosis. She had healing dreams that guided her through her chemotherapy and very successfully. And she also interviewed women at a breast cancer support group and found that 10 out of 19 women had similar dreams. And I was shocked to find out that there could possibly be that many women out there having these kinds of dreams. Then I met Kat O'Keefe Canavis, who, another one of the dreamers in the study, she'd had multiple recurrences, all guided by her dreams. And her dreams were very unusual, because she had a hooded, robed monk as a guide who would come and tell her exactly what was going on. And a very wise monk, evidently, because she's still alive many years later. And she and I are collaborating on putting a book together on dreams of all types of cancer. So that's what the project we're working on at the moment. And we've been just getting stories emailed to us by people from all over the world about different types of cancers. Some people who I knew personally already are telling me their stories. And then there are other just people all over, and the range of cancers is quite wide, from your story of lung cancer, and I do have one other patient who's had dreams that warned him of the recurrence of his lung cancer, but I recently just heard about a second dream about colon cancer, and the one of my high school friends actually, when she heard what I was doing the study, she said, "Well, I had a dream 13 years ago that I was looking in the toilet and seeing blood everywhere,
mm-hmm.
and it kept recurring." And she didn't have; she was perfectly healthy. Had a few vague, you know, gastrointestinal complaints, but most people do, you know. And so she went and had a colonoscopy, and they found a tiny pea-sized cancer, but it already spread to her lymph nodes. So she was very lucky that caught the cancer early enough before it went any further. And she had chemotherapy and surgery, and is fine 13 years later. So that's a pretty amazing story. And then we have another friend of mine has uterine cancer, and her story, which I also told in the TEDx talk, was that she is a very experienced dreamer and had a dream one day about giving birth. And since she was 58, and postmenopausal, it didn't seem like that was possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so she asked for a clarifying dream because she thought it could be just a metaphor. But she's a creative artist, and she thought she was just giving birth to a new mm-hmm. creative project, mm-hmm. which made pretty good sense. But she just wanted to be sure. So next night she had a dream, or she's taken in the dream to a graveyard in Ireland and into a cemetery, and there's headstones surrounded by daisies, and she hears this message that says, "You'll be pushing up these daisies soon if you don't take action on the warning from the last dream."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she went to the gynecologist who checked her and thought, didn't really find anything, but thought the dream was pretty compelling, and so went and sent her for an ultrasound, and sure enough, she had cancer of the uterus, which was successfully treated. And ironically, this particular surgery she had was called a vaginal hysterectomy, where they actually removed the uterus through the vagina rather than through the abdomen.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, she gave birth to that cancerous uterus.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the dream said.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so those are a couple of my friends who, you know, just spontaneously offered me their stories. And I'm sure if two people I know had dreams like that, there's probably every person out there probably knows someone who's had a dream about cancer. Yeah.
I wonder if you wouldn't get more response if you put something in ARE, because that is something that focuses a lot on dreams, you know.
Yeah,
the study
they actually did.
They did put something
in their blog when I was doing the breast cancer study.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I'm going to get back to them and follow up with a broader discussion about dreams and cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I don't know of any other groups that focus on dreams as much as they do. Are there other groups?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good direction to head in. And I've been in conversation with some of the people there, and then the other thing that's interesting is there are other people who are sort of spreading the word about this in the popular press. The there's a woman named Deb Dolteith who had a brain tumor, and her dreams guided her to diagnose the brain tumor. And the unusual story was her husband had died of a brain tumor, and she had a dream like a couple years later that in the dream she was walking in his shoes. And that made her think, oh no, I'm going to get the same thing he got.
Mm-hmm.
And she wound up then being diagnosed with a malignant brain tumor and then had surgery and had a healing dream where she has to enter the panther's cage in order to survive and face her worst fears. And she does that, and then she created a one-woman show, which she's now performing around the world, called Into the Panther's Cage.
Mm-hmm.
So she's a very inspiring example of someone with a brain tumor. There is another, well, a very famous actor who gave an interview quite a few years ago when his career was just getting started, Mark Ruffalo, who's in a lot of popular movies.
Oh, yeah, I know the name. Uh-huh.
Yeah, he had a dream about having a brain tumor in, I think, around 2000. And he went in and had a benign tumor, an acoustic neuroma of the nerves that go to the ear, which generally don't kill you but can cause you a lot of problems. And apparently, after that, his career started to take off. So that was sort of interesting timing on that as well. So, and then we're getting reports about other people with various different cancers, and skin cancers is another thing that people have dreams about. And I suspect by the time we're done, we're going to find people with dreams about all types
mm-hmm.
of cancers.
Mm-hmm. Have you found then commonalities you mentioned in a couple cases, but are there many commonalities in the dreams for a certain type of cancer?
The breast cancers, there have been common themes about having guides come and actually tell mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. that they have cancer, mm-hmm. either a deceased relative or a doctor in a white coat.
Mm-hmm.
Those seem to be the two most popular types of guides.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes in the breast cancers, the guide's hand or their own hand will touch the breast right where the cancer is.
Mm-hmm.
And then in other types of cancer, other symbols are used, I think, appropriate to the location of the cancer, like my friend who was giving birth to the uterine cancer, or other example, like mm-hmm. the hemorrhage from mm-hmm. the colon cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it's quite interesting to ask the question about what is a metaphor and what is a real dream of physical illness. That's one of our research questions that we mm-hmm. need to answer. And then the other thing would be, how can you tell a benign tumor from a malignant tumor?
Because mm-hmm.
that would be an important... So,
right. Mm-hmm.
As they always say, much more research is needed, and I'm in the process of attempting to figure out how to do that research in the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you had any people that had pancreatic cancer that had dreams?
I don't think I have a pancreatic cancer story yet. Have you heard of anyone?
No, but I know it's one of the most devastating of the cancers. That's why I wondered if anyone...
It's also one of the ones that goes undetected for quite a while. So you
right.
think
right.
dreams might be really valuable in that circumstance. But
right.
I haven't heard it yet, so...
Because I interviewed a woman that had pancreatic cancer about 9 years ago, and she has to go through this horrendous routine every day just to stay alive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's a pretty brutal type of cancer.
Yeah, yeah. The one that I admire very much that came through pancreatic cancer, and I don't know anything about her day-to-day living, but is Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Remember, she had pancreatic cancer a few years back.
I forgot that. That's very interesting.
Right, right, yep.
Wow, that's miraculous that she's still hanging in there then.
Right, right, and she's as feisty as ever.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. Wow.
Then do people ever have dreams about other people having cancer?
Yeah, it's interesting. I actually, technically, my first exposure to this was I had two dreams early on in my career about other people's cancers. And the first one was on Thanksgiving in 1987. My father came to visit for the first time in quite a few months from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia. And he's just there for like a day or two and then left. And then and that night when he was there, I had a dream about myself having cancer in my brain, on the left side of my brain. And everyone was shocked because I was totally asymptomatic. And 2 weeks later, my dad was diagnosed with a big kidney cancer on the left side of his abdomen, and everyone was shocked because he was totally asymptomatic.
Mm-hmm.
So when I put two and two together after looking through my dream diary weeks later, I said, wait a minute, I had the dream about cancer on the only night I saw my dad, and I have the same name as he does. I'm a junior.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a feeling I must have picked up on his cancer and translated into my own cancer. And so that was my first inclination that anyone
mm-hmm.
else,
mm-hmm.
you could dream about someone else's cancer. So then quite a few years later, I had a dream about myself having lung cancer. And my immediate reaction was, well, I'm not a smoker, you know, I probably don't have lung cancer, but I wonder if I'm dreaming about someone else's lung cancer. So I just decided to sit with it for a week or two, and
mm-hmm.
I went to a mindfulness meditation workshop, and a friend of mine came running up right at the beginning of the workshop and said, oh, Larry, said, I want to introduce you to someone, a friend of mine who's just like you. And as soon as she said that, I got curious, and I said, well, why is he just like me? Well, he's a radiologist also. And so I met him, and I said, well, what are you doing here? It's unusual for a radiologist. we have one radiologist at a meditation retreat, let alone two. And I said, I told him I'm here, because we're setting up a meditation center at Duke. And he said, oh, I'm here because I'm a patient because I have lung cancer. And I immediately got chills and said, that was my dream. And the next day I went in and took a chest x-ray on myself just to be sure, and it was totally normal. So that was my first inclination, but since then I have at least one of the women in our study had dreams about someone else, and then there's a couple other people I've been getting hearing about who, oh, I had dreams about this person, and this one woman with breast cancer who had dreams about her own breast cancer, and now she's dreaming about lots of other people's cancer. We're going to have a chapter in our book about that phenomenon, which I think is quite interesting.
Did you share the dream with the guy that had the lung cancer?
I did. I told him, whoa, I had this dream 2 weeks ago, and I was pretty shocked that it was... I was hoping it wasn't about me, but I didn't know who it was about, and I think it's about you. And, yeah, so I only met him that one time. So I don't know.
So you don't know if he survived or not?
Don't know. The good news is all the women in my study, the 18, are still alive, except for the one woman who actually didn't even make it to fill out the survey for the study who I mentioned, who died of metastatic breast cancer after her doctor ignored her dream warning.
Do you find with the group that you have that have survived and also that have had dreams, do you find that this group tends to, have more faith, be more optimistic, and have some of the grateful characteristics?
Yeah, the people who I knew ahead of time have relied on their intuition for years. So it's not surprising that they would have a dream, that would guide them. But then some of the other ones who I've also met, encountered since then, clearly, it's almost like the dream world has chosen them to guide them on a healing path. And some of them get dreams that continue after the initial diagnosis to guide them as to what chemo to take, what other treatments to have. And Wanda Birch's story is particularly impressive because she was going through chemotherapy, was having a particularly difficult course, and had a dream about the toxic bags of chemotherapy coming down the IV pole into her arm and turning into healing energy as they came into her arm. And so what she recorded that dream as a guided meditation, and she would play it to herself while she was having the chemo. And what better way to transform the chemotherapy experience than with guiding dream from your own subconscious.
Do all of the people that you talk with that had dreams, do they all select chemo or radiation and surgery?
I did have the one friend who was going around, shopping around, deciding whether to do this chemo or that radiation, and then started having dreams every night about a different raw vegetable. Broccoli one night, asparagus the next night, and she finally realized her dreams were telling her to go on a raw vegetable diet. So she went down to Hippocrates Institute and went through their program and did pretty well on the raw vegetable, raw food diet for quite a while. And she also did take some tamoxifen as an adjunct. But yeah, so that's one person, and then other people have elected to go through the chemo, so I think they pretty much rely... Oh, no, one woman, this is a fascinating story. She actually is not part of the study because she technically didn't have breast cancer, but she had a dream, just like all the other ones, where a guide showed her a white pearl and said, this is your breast cancer, you better do something about it. So she went and had the mammogram and an ultrasound, and they found a mass, which, wasn't really big, but it was definitely abnormal. And they recommended surgery, and she decided she was going to go through energy healing instead. Now, she never had an initial biopsy, so we don't know what the actual diagnosis was at the beginning. But the tumor started to shrink, and it shrunk to about half size, and then she decided it wasn't getting any smaller, and she could have it taken out anyway. So when she had it taken out, it was a benign fibroadenoma. Mm-hmm. But she swears it was malignant at the beginning of this course of treatment. Mm-hmm. So that raises an interesting possibility that there is some discussion in the mammography medical literature that perhaps some small cancers can regress and go away.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting, huh?
With me, I got a very definite no against chemo and surgery. And I had a good friend, Ursula. At that time, it was Ursula Jehoda. I don't know if you know that name or not.
No.
Ursula Martin was her maiden name. But Ursula was in my Search for God group, and she said she would also watch her dreams, and then we would compare notes, and so we both watched our dreams. But she also then recommended a psychic healer, and so I had a, a psychic, and so I had a reading, because I figured, well, I don't have anything to lose, and so she arranged it, and I had a reading. And the reader also picked up the cancer and, again, advised against chemo and surgery.
Yeah.
And said it should all be natural. And so our dreams all pointed us toward natural, and the psychic pointed us toward natural.
Wow, do you remember who the psychic was?
It would take me a minute to think of his name. Al Miner. Does that ring a bell?
But not offhand, but interesting, okay.
But he went by a different name. I think L. Miner was his real name, and he went by a different name. And he also was part of the group that moved to hills of North Carolina when they thought that the Virginia Beach was going to be devastated with
water. Oh, my gosh, water. Yeah, wow, that, I guess that didn't happen yet.
You remember when that group moved over there?
I think of who, Paul, what's his name? I can't remember who the psychic was down there. I do remember some stories like that. Well, there's always someone predicting the end of the world, and if this election cycle isn't the end of the world, I don't know what will be.
So I'm very happy that I, you know, use the natural approach. The only thing is that the doctor then and now pretty much focus on the physical. They don't look at the mental, spiritual, which to me is as important as anything physical that you do. And so I added, you know, the prayer and the meditation and visualization, affirmation, all of those things, you know, to it. And I think that that also contributed to my overcoming it and not having a recurrence.
Well, yeah, I give all my cancer patients now a recommendation to go to and read Kelly Turner's book, Radical Remission.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read that one?
I have it, but I didn't read it. It's I've read some reviews that said that there it really wasn't very scientifically oriented.
Well, actually, I'm not sure that's the case. It's actually based on her PhD thesis at Berkeley. So she got a PhD in basically mind-body cancer approaches. And actually, you could probably contribute your story to her ongoing research, because she's still collecting radical remission cases.
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to consider doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's radicalremission.com. And she's really, and her book is quite valuable because it describes 9 different ways that people can do their own self-healing, and only 2 of them have anything to do with change your lifestyle, or change your diet, or change take the herb. The rest of them are all mind-body spirit interventions. Yeah, I think it's pretty useful.
Right. Oh, okay. Then how has your personal dreams impacted your life?
Well, I've been keeping a dream diary since 1986, I think, when I moved to Philadelphia. And the first time it was of great value was when my dad got sick. But then over the years, I might go for weeks and have nothing of much significance, and then all of a sudden have a big dream that just changes my perspective on things. And most recently, I had an interesting dream in December, which was warning me in a very powerful way about an upcoming event. And I've had precognitive dreams over the years documented in my dream journal, particularly about tornadoes. Mm-hmm. I've dreamed about tornadoes, and the next day we have a tornado in North Carolina, which are pretty rare.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened on at least two or three occasions. But this dream was in December. We were having a cold spell at the beginning of December, and my wife and I had just bought thermal bike gear to go out and keep riding our bikes, our new bikes, when it was cold. So we had planned a bike ride the next morning, but that night I had a dream where I'm in a car driving, and my female passenger turns to me and says, "Someone told me I'm going to have a near-death experience today." Okay? So I immediately in the dream started driving more carefully. And it sort of going over some rough patches, some construction. And even though I'm careful, the next scene in the dream, I am in a hospital bed and my whole left side is damaged. And I think, well, did I have a stroke or something? But the neurologist came by on making rounds and asked me, do I have any neurological symptoms like weakness or something else? And I said, no. And he said, well, you're fine. You can go home. So I got up from that, woke up from that dream and thought, I better be careful when I go bike riding this morning. You know, and it was cold enough, it was 39. I thought that maybe it froze overnight and there's black ice out there and we have to be careful. So I did not tell my wife about the dream, which is unusual because I almost always tell her my dreams. But this one spooked me a little bit. So I wound up getting all the bike gear on, and I realized once we were all dressed up and nice and warm, we had summer gloves only, which had the fingertips cut out of them,
mm-hmm.
like bike gloves do.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, well. So we went out riding, and we used to do three laps of our road. So the first two laps, I was very careful, looking for black ice, no problem. But my hands started getting cold. The fingers started getting cold. And the last time we went on the last hill, the bright idea, I'm going to stick my right hand in my pocket to keep it warm. I don't know if you're a bike rider or not, but you never want to push the left brake by itself, which is the front brake. Because
mm-hmm.
if you do that, you fly over the handlebars.
Oh.
So I'm going down the last hill with my right hand in the pocket. I squeeze the left brake, and I can see myself doing it in slow motion and saying, oh, no, don't do that. But I was going fast. And I went right over the handlebars. I landed on my left side. I hit my left elbow, my left hip, my left shoulder. But interestingly enough, I rolled right to my feet. And I remembered, well, the neurologist said I would be fine. So I got back on the bike and rode home.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got home, I took a lot of homeopathic remedies. And I did have bad bruising on that side of my body, but mm-hmm. I didn't break anything, thank mm-hmm. goodness. And then I wondered about the whole dream sequence and what was the significance of it. Because if I had really been careful, I would never have done such a silly thing like put my hand in my pocket,
mm-hmm.
which was doomed me to have the accident. You know. And so if I hadn't done that, I would have just finished the bike ride and said, oh, I'm glad I was careful. That dream warned me that I could have had an accident. You know. But instead, I put my right hand in my pocket, and the right hand, when you think symbolically, is connected to the left brain.
Mm-hmm.
So I took my left brain offline by putting my hand in my pocket. So my rational thought process of doing something logical was gone, and then my left hand squeezed the brake, which is connected to my intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, okay, so my right brain is creating this accident, and I flip over the handlebars. I land on the asphalt, and I don't get hurt. And I just had my 60th birthday a week before.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that I could take a header off a bike, crash on the asphalt, and walk away, for me, the dream was really about the theme of resilience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm 60, I can try to kill myself on a bike and not succeed and mm-hmm. have a little, as close as I've ever had to a near-death experience and walk away, you know. So that has been actually a very important message for me this year, because I've had a very challenging 6 months. My mother died. My sister got diagnosed with, my mother died of breast cancer, and my sister got a recurrence of her breast cancer. And I wound up giving this TED Talk and going to a whole lot of other conferences. My schedule has been packed. And if I weren't feeling resilient, I would have never made it through this, this spring.
Right. Yeah. Larry, the whole process of dreaming, remember your dreams, interpreting your dreams, and all of that can be very difficult for someone that wants to start learning. Do you know of resources that would be helpful to someone that is just starting out on this journey?
Yeah, I found reading Mark Ian Barash's Healing Dream book to be quite valuable, and I actually took an excerpt of it and created a little blog on my website, which is LarryBurkeMD.com. And if you go and click on my blog and scroll down, you'll find maybe 10 blogs back, there is something called Interpreting Dreams in Multiple Dimensions. And it's based on his approach in the introduction to his book. And there's an example of how I used it for one of my dreams. And it takes you through a basic approach to remembering dreams, getting your dream diary, keeping it near your bed, you know, holding still when you wake up, and recalling anything you can remember. And then it gives you an approach to interpreting it in multiple dimensions, meaning that there's no one way to interpret a dream, and it might be interpretable on many different levels. And it gives people many options to choose from. So that's probably the best resource. So, you know, again, my website is LarryBurkeMD.com, and they can find that along with many other resources. And also on my blog, I have a newsletter that comes out every other week, and if people subscribe to the newsletter, they'll get a free gift, which is a PDF of the top 10 self-healing techniques from the appendix of my book. And each one of them has a video that, explaining how to do it. And one of them is that dream interpretation video. So that's an easy way to get access to all 10 of them if they want them.
Great. Good. Then do you have any other things you'd like to say before we do look at your books and services and, again, your website, et cetera?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just important to keep a dream diary. And the actual group that sponsored my research project is called dreamscloud.com, www.dreamscloud.com. And they actually advocate keeping your dream diary on your smartphone. And that's a pretty popular thing among 20-somethings these days. You just grab your smartphone and just speak in it. Well, now you can record into it, use it as a recording device, and then you have your dream record right there. And then you can share. And the founder of DreamCloud, Jean-Marc Emden, said it's very popular in Europe, in countries like Turkey and Spain. And he was over there and asking some 20-somethings why they would carry their dreams around on their smartphone and share them with their friends. And they said, they looked at him curiously and said, "Why wouldn't you?" So, yeah, that's one. And they do have dream interpretation services there as well. So that's a good resource.
Great. Good. Then would you tell us about your books, services, any products?
Oh, yeah. So my book is Let Magic Happen, Adventures in Healing with a Holistic Radiologist. And it's my 30-year journey from mainstream radiology into the world of holistic medicine. And there's all sorts of chapters on acupuncture and hypnosis and dreams and nutrition and you name it, it's in there. And that book was published in 2012. And since then, my main interest other than dreams has been in what I call symbolic diseases. That's symptoms that present in your life as messengers, essentially, with an important warning from your subconscious that your life is out of balance. And if you approach your symptoms in that way, you'll be guided by your symptoms instead of attempting to suppress them. And once they give you the message, then they might just go away. And so I have on my website, there are two free videos called Symptoms as Metaphors, Part 1 and Part 2. And it's a 45-minute lecture that I gave here a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And then if you really enjoy and get into that, there's the third Part 3 video is a download for $4.99 on the website. And that will actually take you through a combination Symptoms as Metaphor exercise and combined with EFT tapping, which is the other healing thing that I'm a big proponent of. I've been doing EFT, emotional freedom techniques, tapping for the last 14 years.
Mm-hmm. And would you give us the websites again?
Yeah, it's LarryBurkeMD.com. And my other website is LetMagicHappen.com, but they both go to the same website.
Oh, mm-hmm. Great. Well, I appreciate this very much. It's been interesting and will be helpful. And I'm sure that if the listeners have had a dream experience and cancer, that you will hear from them since.
Yeah, I would love to hear about that. And they can reach me through the website. You can just hit the contact me button and it'll send me a message.
Mm-hmm. Great. Good. Well, I appreciate it again very much. And I thank you, Larry.
Oh, thank you, Carl. It's great. And thank you for your wonderful experience about the lung cancer dream. That's very important.
Thank you. Because we have some time left today, I would like to talk with you about my new Cancer Foundation and an opportunity that I think will be of interest to you. My new Cancer Foundation can be found at www.holisticcancerfoundation.com. On the site, you will see first a video of the foundation. You will also see the goals, which are education, research, and patient care. I have an impressive board and advisory board for this foundation, and you can look at these on the site. I have worked for over a year getting content on the site, including interviews with cancer patients and doctors, cancer research, cancer treatment, and what is different on my site is research on mental, spiritual interventions and interviews with experts for interviews like affirmations, visualization, prayer, meditation, gratitude, forgiveness, and many others. These are included because I believe that disease results from multiple factors and consequently a holistic approach is necessary for recovering from cancer. To me, prayer, faith, optimism, and others are as important in treatment as medication, supplements, diet, and other interventions. I have experience to support this belief. Having used a holistic approach since 1970, when I volunteered as a camp nurse for the Edgar Cayce organization. It was natural to use this approach when I was diagnosed with lung cancer in 1974. Curing this disease with all natural holistic interventions, I continued using the approach in my personal life and with clients, and am now considered a pioneer in holistic health. I have worked for the past 5 to 6 months on the website section on prevention of cancer. This will be finished in the next month, and a download gift of this material, around 50 pages, will be available for those who donate $12 or more to the foundation and receive a tax deduction receipt plus this gift. The booklet that will be available as a download will be titled Reduce Your Cancer Risk, A Holistic Approach. It will include the following. First, as a longtime educator, I like to start my writing with a theoretical framework in which to place the content. So there is first a theoretical framework based upon public health concepts. This framework will basically look at, first, ways to reduce the risk of known environmental carcinogens, and second, Ways to Strengthen the Host Against Environmental and Other Carcinogens. Content on reducing the effect of known environmental carcinogens include electromagnetic waves, toxic chemicals such as BPA, formaldehyde, toxic metals such as aluminum and mercury, and last, ultraviolet waves. For all areas, there will be research related to the carcinogen, what you can do to reduce the risk, and an interview with an expert for many of these. The second part looks at ways to strengthen the host or you against carcinogens. It includes areas such as physical activities, nutrition including genetically modified organisms, organic food, etc., fluids, water and milk, supplements, vitamins, minerals, immune builders, sleep, smoking cessation, music, and then it moves into mental, spiritual interventions that includes affirmations, compassion, faith, forgiveness, gratitude, meditation, optimism, prayer, relaxation exercises, serving or helping others, social support, stress reduction, and visualization. Again, for each of these, there is research, what to do to strengthen yourself against cancer, and interviews with experts for many of these. You will hear interviews with 30 cancer or related experts on mental, spiritual interventions, such as forgiveness, gratitude, faith, and compassion. You'll hear about omega-3s, genetically modified organisms, genetically modified food, plant-based and other nutritional diets, smoking cessation, chemical and mental carcinogens, immune builders, music, and much, much more. So I hope this will be helpful to you and will help in preventing cancer in the future. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show, and I hope some of the information will be useful to you. I invite you to my websites, holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all shows for the past 7 years under the blog. You will also find much of the research on natural ways to deal with cancer and other health conditions, and can sign up for my free monthly newsletter. On my website, beatlungcancer.net, you will find many of the 135 interviews from radio and television over the past 2 years about my book on treating lung cancer naturally and holistically when I was diagnosed 41 years ago next month and given 6 months to live by traditional medicine who offered chemo and surgery. This book was published in November 2012 and was a bestseller on Amazon. You will find endorsements of the book, a place to buy the book, and an earlier one from 2007 titled Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. On my third website, you will find information on the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation, begun last year and currently in the phase of completing the website. This site is at www.holisticcancerfoundation.com. Information on how the foundation differs from others, board members, research on holistic natural ways to deal with cancer, including mental and spiritual interventions, interviews with cancer physicians and survivors, and more. If you would like to donate to the work I am supporting, there is a tab to donate, and I can offer you a tax exemption receipt if living in the United States. I also invite you to join me on Facebook at my Facebook page, www.facebook.com/CarlHelvey. On my Holistic Health Show page at www.facebook.com/pages/holistichealthshow and the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation page at www.facebook.com/beatlungcancernaturalalternative. On LinkedIn, I invite you to join me under my name, Dr. Carl O'Helvey. On Twitter, I invite you to join me at www.twitter.com/HolistHealthShow, HolistHealthShow. I wish you a great week, and I look forward to having you here in 2 weeks. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host.